Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right,
right
now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatjack.
Ah, you are back in the back seat. James Troiano has returned from his Mediterranean Memorial Day vacation, and he had a lot of fun out there on his yacht in the middle of the Med. And Adam Tully's not with us this evening, is he? He has a hot date. He's got a hot date that we won't get any further into.
Why not? You don't want to get further into that? I do. I want to get... Adam is...
He's occupied.
Adam is being a
gentleman.
Just an absolute gentleman and just a great husband. And he is entertaining his mother-in-law.
He is. That's right.
Tonight.
And that's the kind of guy that Adam is. And so he's not with us. We're actually recording on Saturday, a day early, because you, sir, are leaving for New York in, not the morning, but tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you'll be back next Sunday. So for those of you listening, we are a day early this week, and then next week will be a day late. So... That's what you got to do when you're a globetrotter, man. You were in the Mediterranean last weekend, and now you're going to be in the Big Apple this whole coming week.
I can't help it. I am an important man, and people need me places. I can't help it. It's just...
Well, speaking of globetrotting, this is the Euro 2012 preview episode of the Backseat Sports Podcast, and 16 national teams will be descending on various venues around Ukraine and Poland. Brush up on your Ukrainian and Polish. Is Ukrainian even a language?
No.
Do they speak Russian in Ukraine?
Probably.
Yeah, we don't. Wow. Yeah, I don't. I have no idea about that one. So this is the Euro 2012 preview episode. And so what James and I are going to do is we're going to run down in this first segment the group stage. And for those of you who do keep up with soccer, even to just a moderate extent, I mean, I think everyone knows how exciting these international tournaments can be. And if you don't, now is the time. Please put away your preconceived notions about soccer.
They do speak Ukrainian.
Do they?
Yes.
Ukrainian. All right.
Thank you, Google.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to our Ukrainian listeners.
There are none. don't worry.
So, James, let's just let's start with Group A. In the there's Group A, the first of four groups, and this is what we like to refer to as the group of life. This is Poland, Greece, Russia, and the Czech Republic, and of course, you know, hosts in these tournaments. Typically, not always, they get a favorable draw.
Right.
You know, intentionally. That's not a mistake. They are supposed to get a favorable draw. Now, Poland got a much more favorable draw than Ukraine did, but we'll get to that later. But in Group A, it's Poland, Greece, Russia, and the Czech Republic. So, who do you think is going to be the winner in this group?
I like Poland.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I like Poland. I think they have a young, exciting team.
Mm-hmm.
And without getting too deep into it, because we're talking about Poland soccer. I think that you were thinking the traditional powers here would obviously be Russia.
And the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Even though neither of those are really traditional powers. Lately, no. They've been better.
But just more talented recently.
More talented recently, but I don't know about Russia. I feel like these guys are old. And they made a nice run in Euro 2008.
They definitely did, yeah. Yeah.
But all those players... haven't done anything since then for club or country.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, and it's the same guys, and now they're just, you know, they're just 4 years older.
Russia's kind of unpredictable. I guess it's just part of their culture. It's a little bit, it's tough to tell sometimes what they're going to do, because there have been many times where they have a lot of talent to speak of, and then they disappoint. And then there have been other times, like in 08, I mean, you said they made a great run. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they beat Holland in that tournament in 2008. So I, you know, you've got Poland winning, and something we've seen a lot recently with these international tournaments is there's been a lot of these tournaments where there's a nation hosting that doesn't typically get to have their like time in the limelight on the world stage. And, Portugal got to host in 2004, and let's face it. I mean, Portugal, beautiful country. They don't get to host worldwide events all the time.
Right.
So Poland and Ukraine, you know, do you think that the home crowd is going to have something to do with this? Because this is a huge, huge, yeah, huge moment for Poland and Ukraine.
Yes, it's the home crowd. But also, let me name to you the forwards that were named to the Czech Republic squad.
Mm-hmm.
Milan Baroš.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Pekart.
Mm-hmm.
David Lafata.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Nesid.
Milan Baroš, old.
Old?
Yeah.
Old and don't know, don't care. Okay? And I'm also looking at the squad list, and I see Tomasz Rosicki.
Old also.
That's ridiculous. He was old in the 2006 World Cup. All right, when they took the United States to task,
yeah,
those were crucial players in like yeah, their late prime.
Late prime, yeah.
In 2006. Yeah. So these are just old guys, and if I don't know you, now they do have just the absolute stellar goalkeeper Peter Cech, who you'll remember from the Champions League final,
or from a list of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a great player, but I don't know if he's going to have enough. I feel like it's going to be one of those things where we traditionally see the host team be able to pounce on opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
And I see an opportunity for Poland to get out of this group. They have good young players in Poland, and mm-hmm, it's not a joke. Guys like Lewandowski.
Polish names are tough, so don't feel bad if you have been overwhelmed by the failure to remember a Polish name. I got the Czechs winning this one. And I think it's just going to come down to a matter of time.
Wait, you have the Czechs winning?
I got them winning it.
Oh,
and it's when you look at these four nations, none of them are elite, but the recent history of being able to produce talent, the Czechs have it there, and I got the Russians finishing second. So we're definitely on polar ends of, no pun intended, of our opinions on this group, but I don't have Poland making it out of the group. They haven't done
it. You don't have Poland making it out
of don't.
The group.
I'm not going to let the yeah, host thing.
I'm sorry, by the way, I was right. It's Robert Lewandowski.
Okay. I'm not going to let the host thing, the host factor suck me in on this one because South Africa didn't do anything in the 2010 World Cup. And so it doesn't always mean something. You have to be talented in the first place. So I got the Czechs and then I got the Russians. Who do you have finishing second? Russians? Okay.
And that's almost by default, just because I'm also just still mad at the Czech Republic for giving the United States that.
A lot of reasons to be mad about that World
that,
Cup.
That A beating that they got.
What most exciting potential game in this group?
Wow.
I'm just going to go with the Polish and the Czechs.
I think there's going to be a lot of great games.
Yeah.
I do. I think this is going to be a competitive group. We are giving Greece absolutely
no love.
No chance.
Well, their country's bankrupt and they've got other things to worry about. So I think that, listen, the Polish and the Czechs, that's the last day of group stage. That is going to be a huge game potentially for both of those nations.
Yes, but or it could not.
You're looking at Poland and Russia, I think. Second game. I think that's what you're looking towards.
I like that. And I think Poland has the opening game right at the tournament, or is that Ukraine?
Yeah, they should. Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
Poland and Greece,
right? Yeah. So I mean, look, that's going to be an exciting.
Not
one to
exactly
watch.
A headliner for your first
game
of the tournament.
It's going to be an exciting one to watch for people that are fans of the Euro tournament.
Yeah,
it always
definitely.
It always is.
Group B, definitely an increase in traditional identity and in talent here. This one's stacked. I mean, really, this is stacked with talent. And poor Denmark. Okay, Group B: Holland, Denmark, Germany, and Portugal. So, who do you see as the winner here?
Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look, then it's our job here is to make a pick. And mm-hmm, so I'm going to pick Germany. But
right,
the Netherlands have so much talent.
Yeah. And the Portuguese do too.
The Portuguese do too. I don't know.
This is one of those things where you say right from the get-go, you say someone good is not going to make it. Someone good is going to get left out.
Look, and I have this feeling. I have this feeling that this is going to be Portugal's tournament.
Wow.
They've been kind of like they've been at the pinnacle. mm-hmm. right? They have been the team that everyone's looked at, especially because mm-hmm. it was in Portugal last time.
04.
And 04, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. not last time. Mm-hmm. 04. And we've said, this is the team to beat. They have the players. They're ready to go. And they've been smacked down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like now, nobody's giving this team any respect. And I think that it's about to come due for this team. I think Cristiano Ronaldo and these guys are going to get sick and tired of hearing that they underachieved.
They're a disappointment, yeah.
And they're a disappointment. And I think they're going to lay the smack down.
Well, listen, like we just said, someone, no matter what you pick in this group, someone good's going to get left out. I've got Portugal getting left out. Here's why. They do have just as much talent as these other teams in this group. I feel like Germany and Holland have more identity right now and have succeeded more recently in international tournaments. Holland and Germany were both very good in the World Cup in 2010. And I've actually got Holland winning the group. Holland traditionally is better earlier in a tournament than they are later. Now, in the World Cup in 2010, they made it to the final. They had a great run. I've got Holland. They're traditionally a great group team. Got Holland winning, got Germany coming second. The game I'm most excited to see, well, Holland-Germany. It's not just because I think they'll be the two teams that make it out. That's a natural rivalry, the Dutch and the Germans.
Right.
So, I mean, anytime, the great thing about Euro is you're almost always guaranteed to get one of these great border rivalries. It almost always happens. You know, you almost always get a France, Italy. I mean, from group stage, you know, right from the get-go.
Are you ready for this prediction? I think Germany does not lose a game in the group stage.
Doesn't lose a game or wins them all?
Dub wins them all, I'm sorry.
You think they're going to win all three?
Yeah, win all three games.
Yeah, and that would be very, very impressive. And they'd be rolling full steam ahead if that was the case. So
you know, Germany run. You know, I liken Germany to the San Antonio Spurs because they get in a game.
Fair.
They get in a game with you, and it doesn't matter who their players are. They have some of the old guard, like the closest.
Yeah.
But and then they got the new guys like the Muellers and mm-hmm. Schweinsteigers, but.
Lucas Podolski, Mesut Ozil.
They just do.
Players.
They just do something to you when you get in a game with them. And even if you have a game that you want to play, no, you play their game. You always end up playing their game.
I think it's part of the cultural identity. It's they're not emotional. They're not easily rattled. I mean, have you ever, even when Germany hasn't been good, have you ever seen a game where they lost because they couldn't handle what was happening on the other side of the field? No.
I mean, they're so clinical and even their uniforms, it's just, it's black and white.
They look like doctors.
You know, it's like they don't want to stand out. They just want to beat you and they don't care.
Right.
They just do not care about you.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of impressive play in this group. And like I said, poor Denmark. I mean, we're not giving them any love, but I mean, how can you? Let's put it this way. If Denmark was to make it out of group stage, it's like a gang initiation. They belong. They belong if they make it out of this group. Moving on to Group C, another one, you know, obviously pretty good talent here.
Yeah.
Spain, Italy, Ireland, and Croatia. Your winner.
Spain.
Well, yes.
I mean, come on. And look, you don't even have to talk about it. You can like, it's basically like watching Barcelona. Because that's what it is, and
right.
But
the Barcelona Madrid All Stars.
I like Spain, and I really want to pick Ireland. I do. I just want to
finish second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I don't at this point. Italy, I think, is in their own separate universe. Mm-hmm. With the stuff going on in their country.
Yeah, they have another scandal about match fixing, like they had in 06.
And I think that they're preoccupied with a lot of that, and some of the players are worried about what's going to happen to their personal lives with this because their bank accounts are getting audited and things like that. And look, that affects you.
Yeah.
And you can't, even though you're away at a tournament, and I know they had success. Obviously, they had success in the 2006 World Cup.
Yeah.
After that scandal happened, but I just have to go with Croatia second.
Yeah. I can't remember whether it was Fabio Cannavaro or Gennaro Gattuso after the 06 World Cup. Either one of them said, he just said flat out, if we hadn't had the match fixing scandal, I don't know if we could have won the World Cup, because he said they banded together. So does this mean we should pick them now? No, because that 06 team was disgustingly talented.
Yeah.
They were all in the prime. Yeah, that was a generation of great Italian talent. Listen, I'm leaving Italy out and I'm taking Ireland second.
Whoa.
And here's one of my reasons.
I wanted to. I'm proud of you for doing that.
Here's one of my reasons. They got left out on a refereeing decision in 2010 of the World Cup. And I think that they're gonna be taking this tournament very seriously. And I think that you're going to see them leave it all on the field, to use an American term. Really, I think that's going to be a factor. I think it was devastating that they got left out. And they got left out for a team, France, that sucked in 2010. And so I think that you're going to see a high-energy Irish side now. The game I'm most excited about seeing, believe it, because look, Spain's going to go 3-0. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, they are.
The game that I'm most excited about seeing is Ireland and Italy. Because Italy needs to prove, after their terrible, embarrassing showing in 2010, that they can't just cruise on their name, their reputation, and Ireland, like I just said, has their own mental and emotional reasons to succeed in this tournament. So I'm interested to see how the psyche of both of these teams, Italy and Ireland, plays out in that game.
I want
to
see...
And by the way, that's the last day of group stage, Italy and Ireland, so it could be a very meaningful game.
I want to see that. That's going to be a good one for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Croatia, Ireland, because I think that might determine who ends up second or out.
There is a chance Italy could come in last in this group.
I just don't see how you can leave Croatia out of.
No, no, they're talented. They always
top two places in that group. I just with guys like Luka Modric and Niko Krunkzjar, that midfield is going to be tough. I just don't know if Ireland has the personnel to compete with these teams.
I think Ireland's that team that every tournament that comes around, there's that team like Senegal in 2002. They made it into the round of eight, and you thought, well, I didn't know any of these players. And sometimes I think that Ireland is going to be the team in 2012 that's just like that team where there's not an individual that stands out. I think this tournament is going to mean a lot to them. So I want to see the Italy-Ireland game, but of course I agree with you. Spain is just going to win this group running away. Group D, last of the group stage, Ukraine, again, host nation, Sweden, France, and England. Now, like we said, the host nation usually is supposed to get an easy draw, but Sweden, France, and England doesn't really sound like it. Now, France and England, they don't have the talent that they usually do.
No, France does.
Well, France no, okay, is okay, okay. talented. No. I'm sorry. Let me reevaluate what I just said. England doesn't have the talent they usually do. France has a roster that needs to prove some things because they have not for country. You know, they have a roster of talent that, but a lot of these guys weren't part of the didn't play an integral part in 06 in that World Cup final team. So once again, I'm leaving the host out. I don't think Ukraine can handle this slate that they've been thrown. Believe it or not, I got England winning the group. So you go ahead and tell me your winner.
What? England winning the group? Yeah. No, I like that. I have France winning the group, okay. And I have Ukraine finishing second.
I got England and Sweden. England and Sweden. I think
I understand what because of Ibra.
Well, no, I mean, Sweden's another one of those teams that has just in the past 20 years has just, you know, become more talented as the game gets bigger, as some of these second-tier nations have more money and more facilities, and, you know, that's a talented team.
I put a lot of stock in the home country.
Yeah, I know.
And I like Ukraine's team. I like, do you remember Andrei Shevchenko?
Yes, I do.
He's back.
He's old.
He's back.
If you can't like Milan Baroš, I don't know if you can like Andrei Shevchenko.
You can score as an old guy. Okay? It's all about your pedigree.
Right.
Have you, like Raul?
Raul? Like of World Cup 1998 fame?
Yeah, he's still doing it at a high level over there in Germany in the first division for Schalke.
All right. Well, what game are you most excited about seeing in this group?
Oof.
Cuz for me, it's England and Sweden.
France-England.
Yeah, and that's I think the fourth day of the tournament. That's the first game in that group. And of course that's going to be a good game, and you know, that's going to set the tone because these two nations, I mean, in your average tournament, France and England would be your picks for their winners.
I also want to see I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, this isn't your average setup here. So yeah. I want to see England and Sweden. They have played so many times, ironically, in international tournaments recently. I think they played in 02, 04, and 06 in the World Cups and Euro. And so it's almost like there's a budding familiarity or rivalry there. So I got England winning and Sweden coming in second. James, we're going to go over the knockout stage or our potential knockout stages right when we come back in the Backseat Sports podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
Ah, that is on Twitter at backseatzach and James Troiano. James, T-R-O-I-A-N-O. We're going to fix that. And he's going to grab his microphone.
Oh, yeah, we're going to fix that. Well, you know what? I might actually
change it back.
We might have some changes coming to the show shortly. And if we do, maybe I'll go back to Backseat James.
Backseat James. We've got Dmitry Shostakovich here because we're trying to give these things an Eastern European feel. It's Euro 2012 preview episode of the Backseat Sports Podcast. Euro 2012 will be played in Poland and Ukraine. Ukraine's having a good year. There's a movie you call The Chernobyl Diaries. I don't know if they are flattered by that. It's a horror flick.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get to host the tournament here. So Dmitry has introed us for segment number two. We're going to go over the knockout stages. Now, of course, we just gave our group stage predictions. And because we have, you know, different perceptions of how the knockout stage is going to be lined up, why don't, you know, I just go ahead and let you go. You take a look at your round of eight.
Are you all right?
I'm okay. Your round of eight, and tell me if things play out the way that you have predicted, what game in the round of eight immediately jumps off the page to you as something you really want to see there in the beginning of the knockout stages?
I don't have a real intriguing bracket until we get to the later stages. I have a France-Croatia game.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a great game. I got France moving on from that, and then that's really it. I think I have both of the host nations moving on.
All right.
And whenever you have a host nation in an elimination game, that's always high. That's always awesome.
The atmosphere gets great.
So Spain, Ukraine. Sorry, Ukraine about that. But and then Poland, Portugal. I think it's going to be a good one if that happened. And you know, but I got Portugal moving on.
Let's just go ahead and you tell me what your final four is. How your final four is going to work out on your bracket?
Yeah, it's Portugal, Spain, Germany, and France.
And that, you know, and it's funny because it all comes back to the traditional powers there. So Portugal and Spain, awesome. You get another border, you know, rivalry, a natural rivalry there.
Right.
And who do you have moving on from the Portugal-Spain game?
I have Portugal.
Ooh, yeah. Portugal advancing to the final, and then Germany and, I'm sorry, you said Germany and
France,
and you got Germany?
Germany.
So Germany-Portugal, and those two teams have played a few times in recent tournaments, World Cups and Euros, so... For all the marbles, Germany and Portugal.
And I have Portugal winning.
Wow.
I have Portugal winning Euro 2012.
They did some good things for you on FIFA last night, so I think that's where that's coming from.
They did.
No, you're right about their level of talent. It's funny how different our predictions worked out here because, as I said earlier, I don't have Portugal advancing.
All right.
For past group stage. However, that's that group where someone good's going to get left out.
Before you give your bracket, do you lend any credence to, like, best player in the tournament?
It's difficult because, you know, in soccer, you know, you need more than one guy. It's not like basketball, and or it's even in football where, like, you can lean on like a running back having an amazing game.
I feel like Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player in this tournament.
Sure, but yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
And that has to that has to mean something.
Well, here's the thing about the international tournaments. We know there have been so many, and I'm not saying Cristiano Ronaldo's one of them because he's not. He's been great for country and club. But there have been so many tournaments where you see a guy who just does not play the same way in these international tournaments as he does for his club team. And look, I mean, part of the reason is you got three games. Three games in like a week and a half, and that's it. And if you can't get hot right then in a week and a half or three games, you sucked. That will be the perception, you know?
Right.
And so Cristiano Ronaldo, amazing player, but I mean, if he's off for one game in group stage, they could get left out.
I my only concern with Portugal is their defense and then the lack of a world-class striker. They don't have it. They have good wingers. I mean, it's a nightmare to think that you're going to have Nani and Cristiano Ronaldo running down the wings on any team. That's scary. But guys like Hector Postiga, they don't scare anybody finishing in front of the net. So we'll see. But like I said earlier, I think that group is, that's a tough group, but it's a winnable group for them.
Yeah, well,
and believe it or not,
it's a winnable group for anybody but Denmark.
It's right. It's winnable. I actually have Portugal finishing second in that group.
Yeah,
I have Poland winning their group.
Right.
I have them coming out on top, right. And I think that's as far as they're gonna go.
So you're going with the Portuguese, and you know what? That would be a big, big time moment for them because they have not won a major tournament like this. They have not won a World Cup.
Right. And what did they? They made it to the final in 2004.
The final of Euro.
Yeah.
I think they lost to Greece twice in that tournament. They lost the opening game.
Right.
Okay. They were hosting Greece and they lost the opening game and then lost them again in the final.
Yeah.
Which is just an awful way to spend your hosting tournament,
right,
bookended by losses to Greece. Now, again,
Greece has not been good before or since that tournament.
That was their one moment they were good. Well, again, I mean, Portugal has not won one of these major tournaments despite all their talent, and I liken them to Holland and Mexico, teams that always have like great players but haven't won a major tournament.
Right.
And so, yeah, that would be a huge deal.
Mexico's won that.
Mexico's won the Gold Cup.
Oh, come on. That's me. That's a big
sorry,
deal.
Sorry, bud. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, America and everyone else involved in the CONCACAF.
Why are you hating on the Gold Cup? That's
because it's at Giant Stadium every other time they play.
Tough. It's tough to win.
Oh, man. Nobody watches it outside of North America. That's why. That's why I'm dissing it. My bracket, the way my round of 8 is working out at the beginning of knockout stages, the game that really jumps out to me, because it's not the game that has the most talent, but the one that jumps out to me is England-Ireland. And that's just going to be fun to watch. And that's the kind of game where...
it's going to get nasty.
Look, I mean, if in your average American city, you can probably find when this tournament gets into knockout stages, you can probably find a good crowd of English and Irish people watching this game more easily than you could find Dutch, Russian, Spaniards, these other nationalities. Right. So, you know, if England and Ireland end up playing, I highly recommend, whether you even like soccer or not, finding your way to the nearest English or Irish pub. And I've got Ireland winning that game. So Ireland is my surprise team.
Sure.
Well, I mean, let's just put it out there. Ireland's my surprise team for this tournament. Like I said, I think this is one that's going
to
mean...
Have you been talking to Mike?
I mean a lot to them. I haven't, because I don't think he's even predicting this kind of success. But
you wouldn't do that, though. See, you don't predict that kind of success for your own team because you don't want to jinx it.
Right. So, because I never really predict major success for the American team.
You just say we might be good.
Yeah. So, you know, I got Holland beating Russia, then Spain beating Sweden, and the Germans beating the Czechs. So my final four is Germany, Spain, and Holland, Ireland. Now, look, Ireland, I think they're going to be the feel-good story of this tournament. It ends with a game against Holland, all right? And then Germany and Spain, Germany's going to get them. So Germany and Holland, again,
wow.
another natural rivalry is my final, and it's going to be a rematch. You know, they're in the same group, so Group B is where it's at for me, and I think Germany and Holland are going to meet back up. Now, I had Holland winning the group and Germany coming in second. Germany's going to get them back. Champions, Deutschland über alles. Germany, champions of Euro 2012. So, I mean, I just look at the roster, and I can't say no to it. It's just like a girl that's just too pretty.
That's a good bracket.
I mean,
that's a good bracket.
Yeah, I look at that roster. I'm thinking that I just don't see where they can mess up.
I sold my soul to Portugal for some, but look, Germany is certainly capable of winning any tournament with any amount of teams. You know, we've seen them do well in the World Cup, Euro,
anytime,
anything that they do. They they're awesome. It's a shame. We were talking about this off the air that all the games are going to be at 11 a.m. And
we don't want to discourage anyone from watching.
That's a work week. So yeah. if you have the TiVo,
it's my understanding that these games will be replayed in the evenings on ESPN2.
It's just like the World Cup. They did that. They replayed them all. Mm-hmm. My English friends are going to kill me. I don't even have England getting out of the group in this bracket.
Well, I mean, look, I've got them winning their group. That's just because I think they're going to band together with the... Look, there's no superstar factor on this English team.
No.
There's not.
Well, you know, I
And I think it's going to help them.
Rooney's out for two games.
I think it's going
to
help.
They're not
though.
Even to have him out.
No, I don't mean like that.
Danny Welbeck's going to be.
I don't mean it like that. I think that they always have drama before any tournament. They always do. It's like a rule. And they always have doubt. I think this is going to be the healthy kind of doubt because it's not. They're not just saying that this team is dysfunctional. Right now, people are saying this team isn't good enough.
Do you know, read something yesterday. Rooney has not scored a goal in a tournament since 2004. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe better off without him.
Yeah, I think that these guys are going to band together. And am I under the right impression they have an English coach this time? Like for the first time in a long time?
Steve McLaren.
Look, I like that. All right? I like that. And I don't want to say that there should be a rule that your coach should have to come from your home nation, because there's a lot of these teams in the World Cup, like the Ivory Coast, and then there was like South Korea, Gusevic, coach South Korea. And we would never have those like upset stories if they couldn't be coached by like an established character.
Are you trying to say that coaching talent, it's impossible to nurture coaching talent in the Ivory Coast or South Korea? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I'm saying. So,
I think that England in particular needs an English coach, because an English coach understands the mindset of these players.
Yeah.
Sven-Goran Eriksson does not understand what Frank Lampard and John Terry.
That,
that
Italian guy they had, Lippi, was that his name? Was that someone else?
No.
They had an Italian coach.
Capello,
yeah. You're right.
Look, Capello. Man, and he's another one. Like, it's just get a. The English player is a. Kind of like
an interesting creature.
When I think of an English player, like a prototypical English player, I think of a kind of a hard-nosed, technical in a sense of like just technical enough to get done what he needs to be done. It's not like these guys in Spain and Germany and even it's, Portugal. It's kind of like
not
a
flair.
It's not flair. It's technical, but it's not flair. These foreign coaches that try to understand and kind of it seems like they all are ultra competitive to the point where they all have kind of a nasty streak.
Right.
And you see that in the EPL when these players play against each other.
Right.
But on the world stage, I don't think that these foreign coaches understand that mindset.
It's different.
And I think that even though I don't agree with the choice of Steve McLaren, I don't think that that's a big enough name to command respect from these players, because they have the old guard and you know these guys.
Yeah, but look, England's England and they invented the sport and it's the center of the sport of the soccer media universe, and it's the center of club success. It is. No matter how good these teams get in Spain, England and the EPL are the center of club soccer, and their coach needs to be someone that understands the culture, and their coach needs to be someone who can get these guys to when it's the 80th minute and they're either down by one or it's a tie game, their coach or their manager, whatever you want to call them, needs to be someone that can get these guys to play for country.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that matters with programs like England. When Gusevic is coaching South Korea, that's different. He's teaching them new tactics they didn't know before. But England's coach needs to be a guy who can get these guys to play for country. And if your name's Fabio Capello, you can't get these Englishmen to play for country. So, you know, that's just the way I see it. I hope it works out for them, at least in group stage in 2012.
I would like to see England go far in the tournament. Because I follow the English Premier League,
right,
and I root for some of these players there.
And we want Tully to enjoy sports success, unlike the other way around.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't like it when we enjoy team success.
But
we like that for him.
Right. We were out last night, and I said something to him about this, and he was like his face lit up when I said I root for England.
No, I remember
England,
yeah,
in these tournaments.
Yeah. Well, we were talking, and I don't know if you're the same way. I like to root for like the English speakers.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like get them. I like to root for England, Ireland, Australia. Scotland has never qualified for anything, but
no.
You know, you see what I'm getting at. Those, I feel like it's just you've got a similar culture, you know? So I like to root for the English speaking nations in these big tournaments.
You're a racist.
On that note, Adia Nadia is coming up next. And, you know, we're going to veer away from the soccer, at least in some spots here. And I think you can guess a certain man who makes his living in Queens, New York, is going to be on the Hottie Naughty list. Coming up next in the Backseat Sports Podcast.
Who? You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
Ah, that is on Twitter at backseatzach and for now at James Troiano. James, T-R-O-I-A-N-O. Oh, Lil Wayne, Weezy F baby, we love you and we'll get to you later. But first, this is Hottie and Naughty, and our first Hottie of the week is Johan Santana. Threw the first no-hitter in Mets history last night.
Yep.
134 pitches, did it against the Cardinals. I told you earlier, I also wanted to give credit to the Florida Gators pitcher that threw a no-hitter, but no-hitting the Cardinals is not the same as no-hitting Bethune-Cookman University. So,
I mean, reason to even mention that about the Florida Gators. It's just...
Here's who we can give credit to.
Are you able to stop?
Tom Genka. Why? He said during our baseball preview issue that Santana was going to storm back with a vengeance, and Tom is already right. No matter what happens for the rest of the year, I guess Tom was right about that.
Yeah, you should flip him a text or a tweet because he'll be happy. He's not right about many things. Actually, almost nothing. But this is one. This is one that he was right about. Good for him, and good for Johan. Except he actually gave up a hit. We found later. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. You know, Beltran was a really good sport about that, though.
Well, because Beltran's his buddy. They played together for like 6 years.
He was a good sport about that because, you know, look, it's when you're a batter, you know, when your identity as a player is a batter, you don't go out there saying that your mission that night is to spoil a no-hitter. It's to win. And he said the hit wouldn't have mattered. And it's true. The Mets won 8-0. So our first naughty of the week is Jonathan Vilma.
Good for him.
Jonathan Vilma, linebacker of the Saints. Look, Vilma has Roger Clemens syndrome.
What?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He is still trying to deny that he was part of these wrongdoings for the Saints. And James, that's bothering you.
No, it's not bothering me. It is. It's bothering me. They found a ledger that said of the betting money.
Yeah, no, right.
And
I
they
know.
Showed him. Yeah. And he's like, this doesn't prove anything. What? That proves everything. That's like somebody killing somebody, holding the gun with the dead person and being like, this doesn't prove anything. This does not prove a thing.
I know
I'm holding the gun. There's the body, but this doesn't prove anything.
I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I'm suing you for defamation. You're saying I killed somebody.
I don't know if you've seen that movie Role Models, but near the beginning, Elizabeth Banks, she's cute. And she plays an attorney, and she talks to her client about how, like, look, this is going to be tough. They've got video of you stealing these boxes from the warehouse on camera. And then she plays the video, and he says, that's not me. And you see him going, my name is such and such, and I love stealing things. Our next hottie is Richard Gasquet and some Russian or Eastern European named Dimitrov. They were playing each other in the French Open, and they had a 38-shot rally, which, look, if you don't keep up with tennis, that's a long time to be on one point.
I don't keep up with tennis.
Well, you used to.
No, I never did.
Yeah, you did. And so most.
When's the last time we watched a tennis match together?
Most points. Don't do that thing.
You're doing that thing. You're doing that thing where you go. Look, yeah, you did. You used to. You're acting like my girlfriend.
You used to take an interest in Wimbledon.
Roddick. I'm sorry. Maybe specifically Andy Roddick when he was the up and coming young United States of America tennis representative. But now he's not. His tennis game is in the garbage can.
Gasky.
And I don't care anymore.
Wow. All right?
And don't tell me that I used to listen to tennis. You're like my parents or my girlfriend or something.
Listen.
Stop.
Gasky and Dimitrov, they had a 38-shot rally, and they fought through the pain, and immediately after the point, one of them collapsed and one of them vomited all over the clay. So good for them for playing that one out. Someone had to hit a winner. It wasn't even an error that won the point. So good for them for really throwing it all on the line there. Our next naughty is Floyd Mayweather. He's a good boxer, and he exhibited that ability, unfortunately, on the mother of his children. Now he's going to jail. And so he's going to be in jail for 87 days, which I think we can all agree isn't really enough for something like that.
Yeah, so, understatement of the century, naughty. Like a woman beater.
Yeah, that is an understatement.
Hard to root for a guy like Floyd.
Floyd is going to jail, and maybe when he's out, we'll finally get the Pacquiao fight that we all want, but probably not.
If I was Pacquiao, I wouldn't fight that guy. Just because he wants to fight Pacquiao, and Pacquiao doesn't need to fight that guy.
Pacquiao you think Mayweather needs it more than Pacquiao needs it?
I would say so.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I just think that he, at this point in his career, he knows that nobody likes him, and he's trying to stay relevant. And if you're Pacquiao, why give him a reason to be relevant?
Pacquiao has more exposure, and you don't see Mayweather doing commercials for things. You know, you don't see Mayweather with endorsements.
No, he's not a likable guy. He's not a marketable guy. Especially with this kind of stuff. I mean, go to jail and think about stuff, okay? go to jail. Get out of here.
Speaking of working on the market, OC Umeniora, he complained long enough, and he got a restructured deal with
good
the Giants.
Good for him, right?
Good for him.
Good for you. Hey, good for you. You bitched and moaned enough. And they threw you a little bone.
Yeah, so Umeniora now has a restructured deal. He's getting more money from the Giants there. So, hey, he's working the capitalist system, so good for him. Here's someone who complained with absolutely no reason to complain. Lil Wayne. Tunchi was trying to get into the Oklahoma City Thunder game against the Spurs, game 3, the other night. And look, here's what happened. He wanted tickets. He wanted floor seats. Didn't have any. Okay, so they told him that. We don't have any.
Yeah, that's Lil Wayne, man. Yeah. You find a floor seat. You get a little folding chair and you put it somewhere.
Or a high chair. And so he didn't like that. He doesn't like being told no.
Did you just poke a little short joke at Lil Wayne?
A little bit.
Oh my gosh, you're a killer.
So he didn't like that, and so he didn't get to go to the game. And it turns out that some of these players from the Thunder, they bought him tickets to the next game because they for some reason they feel bad. I don't know why. Well, the game's sold out. You don't get to go.
There's two sides of the story.
Yeah. Well,
what side are you on?
So he complained and he said that the Thunder organization is racist.
Well, I didn't see that.
Well, he says the Thunder players are going to buy him tickets. He says that's not the point, though. He told the Associated Press in an interview Friday night, it's the players stepping up. But of course, the players aren't white. I don't want to be sitting there on behalf of you, and I'm sitting next to a person that's like, I don't want this person sitting next to me. Forget you. I'm in Forbes, he said, laughing.
Like, I mean, he didn't make his money with his brain. I like Lil Wayne. There's two sides to the story. The other side is that he said that he called up, and they told him his manager called up, or whoever buys the tickets.
Sure, right.
And Oklahoma's people told the guy that he can only use those tickets for his personal use, and they're not going to arrange any special situation for Lil Wayne as far as extra security and a ride and everything like that.
Right,
and
right. Look, he needs to drive himself to the game.
If that happened, that's I think there's a legitimate, there's something here. There's something to this, and here's why. I know you don't want to hear this right now, but you're going to hear it. This is just supposed to be a quick little hottie-notty.
Playing devil's advocate.
If you're Oklahoma City,
yeah,
you need to get some star power.
That's why it's
into these games.
That's why he sounds like an idiot, is because there's no reason for Oklahoma City of all places to not want a celebrity courtside. Because look, they don't have celebrities.
I don't think
they're
being racist. I don't think they're being racist, but I think that they might have been like right now Oklahoma City is. It's that poor guy that just won the lottery, and now he's like, oh yeah, you were pushing me around before? Mm-mm, not anymore. Not anymore. You can't come to our game. You can't come, okay? Because we're rich and we're popular now, we don't have room for you anymore.
You think what they probably said was he didn't come to any of our regular season games.
I mean, look,
so.
Lil Wayne said that he goes to Miami, he goes to Boston, he goes to L.A. They sell out playoff games. Lil Wayne goes to those.
Look, the celebrities show up to those games. They probably have a different ticket structure at the Staples Center
in
Miami.
I just have a problem with this. I don't know what my deal is.
I enjoy laughing at his misfortune.
I don't think that Lil Wayne's in the wrong here. I don't think he is.
He's in the wrong about telling them that they're racist. It's kind of dumb.
He didn't say the word racist.
That is what he said.
He said they're racist.
Yes.
Did he say they're racist?
Yes.
Where? What?
Yes.
Where's the quote?
Yes. It's not in this little block right here.
All
right.
Look. If he said that.
Team spokesman Dan Mahoney sums it up thusly: "We just didn't have the seats available. It's supply and demand. We offered him other locations and probably could have accommodated him. We've had other celebrities courtside when it was available. In this case, for a playoff game, they were not." So look, they offered
it's
him another
Lil
location.
Wayne. It's Lil Wayne.
Not too you, big for his own britches.
You don't put Lil Wayne in the third row.
You don't put Lil Wayne in the third row.
You do not put Lil Wayne in the third row. You put him on courtside. You're playing his songs through your loudspeakers. You put him courtside.
Yeah, no, I look.
I'm right, and you're wrong.
No, stop.
Yeah, I'm right,
stop.
And you're wrong.
You just formed that opinion just now.
Oh.
You don't put Lil Wayne in the third row.
No, I did.
Hell, sorry.
I formed it just now? No. This is what I did. I listened to the story. I took in all the facts. I thought about it for a second. I used my brain, and I thought about it for a second,
and then I
gave you a response. If you used your brain for a second, you might actually be able to comprehend what I'm saying.
It's pretty simple. Here's how it works. Floor seats are sold out. So if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder,
find a seat.
What do you mean find? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Find a seat. I don't know.
Kick someone out.
I don't care.
No way.
It's Lil Wayne.
No way.
It's Lil Wayne.
He's a crackhead. No one cares. All right. So
a crackhead. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a coke problem.
What is this? You're off base.
Oh, that was Adia Nadi. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. Adam Tully is, not with us, but he's going to join us next week.
Adam Tully just is perusing around Atlanta with his mother-in-law tonight. So if you think you're having a bad night.
So for James Troiano and Adam Tully, who will join us next week. Also,
by the way, Adam's mother-in-law, Margo, is a very sweet, sweet woman. I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
For once,
you're right about something.
He must be having a wonderful night.
Absolutely. So whether you were listening on RadioExiles.com or iTunes, we appreciate you catching the show. Again, next week, we'll be just one day late. We're going to be doing our show Monday next week while James is traipsing around New York. And say hi to Santana and Human Yura for
And I'll
us.
Say hi to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, I don't think you're a crackhead. I think you're a genuine star, and you deserve every hey pal,
right.
you've earned what you've made. You deserve courtside seats.
All right, that was Hadi and Nadi, the Backseat Sports Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Lil Wayne.